Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, June 11th, 2007, and you are listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Today's podcast is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find a link to this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and accoutrements right there on the front page of DrDickSexAdvice.com. Look for the banner on the left that reads Dr. Dick's Sex Toys and Props. You will enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom. It's just so damn fun and easy. Yes, sirree, sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of going down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those wicked toys you've been drooling over. No seedy storefronts, no leering salesmen, just you and the privacy of your computer. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit the stockroom today. You'll be glad you did. I have a really juicy show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a free, no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me, so don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Today's first correspondent is Larry, 23, from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He writes, "Where does semen come from? That is to say, what organ or organs make it and where is it stored? What exactly happens at climax? If you climax without coming, is that something that should concern me?" Well, if I climax without coming, that shouldn't concern you, but I don't think that's what you mean. Anyhow, semen is the scientific name for male ejaculate. However, we here at Dr. Dick's Sex Advice like to refer to this man juice as spooge, jizz, or cum. Semen contains sperm, of course, which is produced in the testicles. It also contains a complex soup of sorts called seminal fluid, which is produced by your body's various sex glands. But despite its complexity, jizz is 90% water. Your most important sex glands, the seminal vesicles, produce 70% of cum. This seminal fluid is viscous and alkaline. The alkaline quality is very important because it neutralizes the acidic environment of your urethra and a woman's vagina, which would otherwise kill all your little spermlets, or at least make them inactive. And what good is inactive sperm? This seminal fluid also contains a simple sugar, which provides energy for your sperm buddies, all the energy they need to survive and wriggle about like crazy. Oh, and precum, that stuff that often drizzles from your man meat while you're being aroused, comes from the Cowper's gland, and it too paves the way for a healthy ride for your little spermies. About 25% of the volume of your spooge comes from your prostate gland. This gives your spunk that milky appearance. Your prostate also adds substances which increase your sperm survival rate and their ability to move about like crazy. On average, a man ejaculates between 2.5 and 5 milliliters of jizz, which contains about 50 to 150 million sperm per milliliter. Just think of that next time you shoot your wad into a dirty sock. If a dude's sperm count falls below 20 million per milliliter, he's likely to be infertile, or as we like to call it, shooting blanks. The amount of goop a guy shoots varies greatly and has a lot to do with how long his arousal period lasts before he shoots. You see, the longer the arousal period, the more time there is for your fluids to build up. That's why Dr. Dick always suggests a nice long foreplay session. The more buildup of spooge, the greater the increase there will be in the strength of your ejaculatory contractions, which in turn makes for more intense orgasms. You'll notice that I'm going out of my way to separate these two events, ejaculation and orgasm. For a lot of guys, they happen simultaneously, but for the lucky few and those who practice the art of Tantra, multiple orgasms are possible before the inevitable ejaculation. You'll notice your spunk tends to be sticky and thick right after you blow your load. But soon thereafter, it begins to separate and become more runny. This is pretty normal. It's also normal for the color and texture of your jizz to vary from time to time. Sometimes it can be really milky. Sometimes it's clearer with only streaks of milkiness in it. It can also contain gelatinous globules from time to time. A lot of this has to do with how hydrated you are, how many times you've come lately, and of course, your age. Spooge production diminishes as we get older. Each ejaculation is actually a collection of spurts that sends waves of pleasure throughout your body, but especially in your cock and groin area. The first and second convulsions are generally the most intense and shoot the greatest quantity of jizz. Each following muscle contraction is associated with a diminishing amount of cum and a milder wave of pleasure. Most of us men's can't resist increasing manual or fucking stimulation when we get to the point of ejaculatory inevitability, which is too damn bad because if we practiced coming up to that point but pulling back on the stimulation at that moment, our pleasure would increase, we'd last longer, and our expected orgasm would be more powerful. Some people refer to this practice as edging. The typical male orgasm lasts about 17 seconds, but can vary from a few seconds to almost a minute. A typical ejaculation consists of 10 to 15 contractions. I know that I mentioned before in an earlier podcast, but it bears repeating again here. A recent Australian study has suggested that frequent masturbation, particularly as a young man, appears to reduce the risk of prostate cancer later in life. If you're choking the chicken a lot, your sperm count will be low, and the amount of jizz you produce will be less. But also age, testosterone level, nutrition, and especially hydration play a big part in that too. So just remember, a low sperm count is not the same thing as a diminished volume of cum. When a guy blows his wad before he wants to, it's called premature ejaculation. If a man is unable to ejaculate in a timely manner after prolonged sexual stimulation, in spite of his desire to do so, it's called a delayed ejaculation, retarded ejaculation, or anorgasmia. And an orgasm that is not accompanied by an ejaculation is known as a dry orgasm. And that may or may not have anything to do with semen production, because some men ejaculate into their bladder, and that, my friend, is called retrograde ejaculation. Good luck! I want to quickly follow up Larry's question with this shorter question from Ernie. He's from Atlanta, he's 50, and he writes, "I love to taste cum. However, sometimes it's quite bitter. I've worried that it's because someone is taking medicines that come through in the semen. Am I at risk swallowing some cum if a guy is on heart medication or other meds?" Well, darling, like I always say, we are what we eat, or in this case, we are what we consume. So absolutely, you can be assured that there are at least trace amounts of unmetabolized drugs pharmaceutical as well as recreational income. This is not as much of a concern for jizz lappers like you as it is for piss drinkers, but you oughtn't fool yourself into thinking there is no residue at all. Here are some other fun spooge facts. It's protein, baby. It contains about 12 to 15 calories per cum shot, the same amount found in egg white. Alcohol, drugs, and nicotine will make a guy's spooge bitter. You want your jizz to be sweet-tasting? Avoid junk foods, and have lots of fruits and greens in your diet instead. Fruit juices like pineapple, citrus, and cranberry are also known to make your cum taste sweeter. The higher the sugar content, let's say melons, mangoes, apples, or grapes, the sweeter the spooge. Likewise, vegetables like parsley and celery are also recommended. And just so you know, consumption of these things, even 20 minutes before a blowjob, can affect the taste of cum. Avoid fish and red meat. They produce bitter, fishy tastes because of their alkaline content. Chemically processed alcohol, as I said before, can also make your joy juice taste bitter. Naturally fermented drinks are less likely to do so. Garlic and onion are likely to produce strong odors since they are high in sulfur, so lay off on those. And of course, asparagus is to be avoided pre-blowjob too. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, thanks for asking. It's 866-422-5680. 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Leora. She's 23 and she writes from Israel. I have a cyber relationship with a man who is a great deal older than I am, lives several time zones away, and has a little girl living with him. So we can only do it when she's out of the house, which, until September, will only be on Sundays, and that usually means that, in practice, we only do it once a month. I'm a very hormonal girl, and this is driving me kind of crazy. Masturbating by myself doesn't make the problem go away. Somehow, even if I get 10 orgasms in a row from it, holy cow, and cheating or moving on are out of the question. I try to repress, but the tension seems to make me want to bite his head off a lot lately, which never used to happen. I love him very much, so porn and cheating are out of the question. Any advice on other ways of dealing with this frustration? Geez, you sound like a real charmer. What a petulant child. It's a wonder that this grown-up puts up with you. Here's what I'm reading in your message. You're hooked on cyber sex with an older man who lives thousands of miles away from you. And because he has a daughter living with him for the summer, you can only connect with him once a month. And you're pissed off and frustrated. Well, I can understand being pissed off and frustrated. Apparently, you have the sex drive that would make an infomaniac blush. But don't get me wrong, that's not a bad thing. It's just that you can't or won't satisfy your libido on your own or with another person. And when you don't get what you want, when and how you want it, you bite the old guy's head off. You betcha. Sounds just like true love to me. You know, darling, I do have some advice. What you got going here is an obsession, which is absolutely nothing to do with love. You're selfish and self-absorbed, and if I had to guess, you can't even read the signs that are obvious to others with similar cyber connections. Listen up. When the frequency of the contact diminishes, it's apparent that one or the other of the participants are bored or finished with the liaison. You seem to gloss over this painful truth. You deny yourself the natural sexual outlets a young woman your age can enjoy because you are unhealthily preoccupied with this cyber connection. Where's the fuck do you think this virtual relationship is going to wind up? Maybe, just maybe, this older gentleman has got the goods on you. He sees you for the crazed cyber junkie you are, and he's using the excuse of having his daughter around to avoid you. Girlfriend, give it a rest. This is yesterday's mashed potatoes. Time to move on. Why not connect with a real human this time, someone you can actually touch and be touched by? I know it sounds real old-fashioned, but if you give it a try, I think you will find that honest-to-goodness human flesh beats a keyboard every time. Good luck. Next, we hear from Wang, who is 33, and he writes from Cambodia. First of all, sorry for my bad English. I'm foreigner. I live in Cambodia and sometimes in Thailand. I really have a big problem. I'm so afraid of getting HIV. Last week I went to have an oil massage service in Cambodia. The massager offered me a special service, using her naked body to rub and grind all over my body. Not intended to have unprotected sex, so she just gave me a hand job. Not any outer course activities were performed. Only her outer vagina accidentally touched to my penis just 2 to 3 seconds when she got up off my body. I think she may have or may not have had any vaginal secretions or other fluids. But I still worried of getting HIV if her outer vagina touched the tip of my penis. So here's my question. One, do I have any risk or chance of getting HIV? Two, should I have anything to worry about? Or do I have to get a blood test? I'm really sure that no insertion into her vagina happened. No intercourse, just accidentally touched for 2 to 3 seconds. All comments are worthy for me. Please give me your opinion. Holy cow. Wang, if you are accurately describing what happened between you and the sexually aggressive masseuse, then I don't think you have anything to worry about in terms of HIV transmission. There is virtually no chance that an accidental brushing of your cock against her pussy lips could give you HIV. So relax, dude. That being said, I suggest you get tested anyhow. And here's why. I am of the mind that all sexually active people be tested for HIV and other sexually transmitted infections regularly, at least twice a year. All you real sexual athletes out there should be tested every other month. You shouldn't even think about it. You should just do it. It's painless, discreet, but most importantly, it's the responsible thing to do. If you make it part of your lifestyle, then there will be no embarrassment associated with your trip to the doctor or the local clinic. Make this happen, people. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick. What is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Okay, next we hear from my neighbor of sorts, Miss K, who's 43, and she writes from Everett, Washington. Just up the road a piece as far as you can chuck a tater. My longtime male sub wants me to try something on him that he saw on a website. I'm not sure at all that it would be safe for him. It's infusing saline into his scrotum until they are very heavy. Any advice? Oh my God, there's perverts in Everett, Washington? Holy cow, who knew? I am of the mind, as probably you are too, that needle play and blood sports are best left to trained professional DOMs. I have no way of knowing what your level of proficiency in this area is, but that's not to say that one can't learn to infuse if one wants to. I once watched a testicular infusion demonstration with utter amazement. I don't know how to do this myself, so I won't offer you a tutorial. However, I did notice online that there are several how-to videos for this particular fetish, but I can't really recommend them either, since I haven't had an opportunity to review any of them. But since you raised the question, and like I always say, if there's one pervert out there who gets off on something, there's got to be a shitload of others out there getting off on the same thing. So I asked around among my many more sexually adventurous friends for their advice. The predominant message was that infusing sterile saline solution into a guy's scrotum requires a lot of time because it's a drip process, don't you know? And that it must be done in a sterile environment to avoid complications. A mishap can cause a serious infection, which is awfully painful and can lead, if not treated, to the loss of a guy's balls. So first, you gotta shave the dude's balls. If you nick his nuts, stop right there. It's recommended that you wait until that nick heals before you start again. The infusion bag or bottle must be warmed before the infusion begins. You'll also want the environment to be warm too, otherwise his scrotum will get all pruny-like, don't you know? The infusion bag needs to be hung approximately 3.5 feet or 1 meter higher than his balls. You need to know how to set up the infusion apparatus and bleed the infusion tube of air. If you don't know how to do this, then you are in over your head, darling. Don't attempt to do this on your own. Of course, you got to disinfect the scrotum with an alcohol-free beta-isodine solution is a good one. There is some disagreement on how best or where best to sting the needle into the nutsack. But one thing is for sure, keep his dick out of the way. Two of my experts suggest stinging between the testicles. Yikes, I'm such a big baby, I really hate needles. I gotta tell you, all of this is giving me the willies. But hey, let's not worry about my feelings, let's press on. No pun intended. I'm told that you can sting just about anywhere in the scrotum, but if you sting into a blood vessel, the dude's gonna have a bruise. Probably, if he's into this particular fetish, a little bruise isn't going to bother him. But you absolutely got to make sure you don't puncture one of his balls accidentally. This, I understand, is very painful. It's recommended that the first time you infuse that you ought not use the entire liter of saline. Once he's full, so to speak, remove the needle, firmly press your gloved finger on the puncture for a few minutes, then apply a Band-Aid. If you really loaded him up, don't be surprised if he leaks a little. Now there's a pleasant thought. Of course, never reuse the needle, and don't just leave that infusion bag or bottle hanging around. It'll attract germs. Finally, you'll be happy to know that your man's nutsack will return to normal in 48 to 72 hours. As the saline is absorbed into his body. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. All righty. Now we hear from Victoria. And she writes from San Diego, she's 22. I love sex with my boyfriend. It is great, but sometimes it can be a real pain. I can't seem to stay wet for too long, even if it feels really good, I still tend to dry up. I've tried lubrication, even lotion, and it still only helps for a few minutes, then I dry up again. I can come, but even after a few, I get dry again. It makes it so hard because my boyfriend tends to think that I am not wet because he doesn't please me, when it's not true. He is, in fact, the best lover I've ever had. Please, is there anything that I can do so I don't dry up so fast? Bummer, Victoria. A chronically dry pussy is no fun. First, let's try to put your boyfriend's mind to rest. It ain't you, darling. Listen to your woman. You're pleasing her just fine. The problem resides in her inability to produce sufficient lubrication to make fucking fun. But let's see if we can get to the bottom of this AACS, acute arid cunt syndrome, and maybe we'll find a solution along the way. You know, if you are using the wrong kind of lube for the job, it's going to dry out, sure as shootin'. And since I don't know what you are using, I'm going to just suggest a scattergun approach. There are several different kinds of vaginal lubricants available over-the-counter, as well as estrogen-based creams available by prescription. Vaginal lubrication comes in tubes, plastic squeezy bottles, and some women swear by vitamin E vaginal suppositories. If I had to guess, I'd say you were trying to get the job done by using a water-based lube, right? If that's the case, I suggest that you switch to a silicone-based lubricant. They don't dry out as quickly as water-based lubes. They tend to be a bit more expensive. They are not water-soluble, and cleanup can be a chore. So you'll not want to be using this stuff while you fuck on the brand new Laura Ashley's, don't you know? But of all the drawbacks to silicone-based lube, they pale in comparison to some mighty fine slippery fucking. Why not look for wet platinum lube? That's wet platinum lube. Wet is the name of the company. Platinum lube is their line. In the Dr. Dick stock room. Might as well plug the show's sponsor, right? If that doesn't work, then ask your doctor about an estrogen-based cream. But before you go there, maybe you should be asking yourself what gives with this acute arid cunt syndrome anyway. Is anything about your lifestyle contributing to the problem? You know, a lot of very popular medications interfere with natural vaginal lubrication, including Halcyon, Xanax, Ativan, calcium channel blockers, beta blockers, and especially prescribed and over-the-counter cold and allergy medications. High levels of stress, depression, as well as a hormonal imbalance can cause vaginal dryness. If this is you, you can combat some of this by boosting your water intake. If you are not adequately hydrated, that is, at least 10 8-ounce glasses of water every single day kind of hydration, you know you're going to be having a problem. You know, some hand and body soaps and laundry products can contain scents and other kind of chemicals that can irritate the delicate mucosal tissues that line your pussy. A healthy diet and proper exercise is also important to maintaining healthy levels of natural lubrication. You know all those low-fat, high-carb diets many women are on these days? Well, they're literally starving your body of the nutrients it needs to make sex hormones. For example, the estrogen needed for vaginal lubrication is made from cholesterol, something women on low-fat diets are severely lacking. Good luck! Well, sex fans, that's it for today's show. I'm glad you could join me, and I invite you to tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really nice for yourself or the perv in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd better just call off the search now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. So get on in there and make those cash registers ring. It'll be music to my aged ears, and you will have something really smutty to remember me by. Do it now. Don't make me chase you down. Find a link to Dr. Dick's Stockroom right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. It's on the left. Look for the banner that reads, Dr. Dick's Sex Toys and Props. Before I go, I want to call your attention to the lickety-split connection at drdicksexadvice.com. Remember, folks, no one's going to answer your call personally because it's voicemail. That's right, Dr. Dick is offering you a toll-free podcast voicemail phone number to call in your questions. You do want to be in one of my podcasts, don't you? Call now. The number is 866-422-5680. And look for Dr. Dick's podcast on iTunes and sexaudia.com. On iTunes, you'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.